In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So what is freedom? Well, that's a question many of us have been forced to ask recently. If you look up the word on Google, you will get the following definition, that freedom is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. And so in this regard, freedom is essentially autonomy. It's the ability to make our own decisions, to do what we want to do when we want to do it. Freedom means you can't tell me what I can and can't do. Even if I want to do something stupid or harmful, it's my choice, it's my right, and I ought to be able to do it. Well, this is actually not how the ancient philosophers understood freedom. For them, freedom was not the ability to do what a person wanted to do, what their base desires demanded that they do, but rather freedom was the ability to pursue virtue or to do what someone ought to do. Now, this often required suppressing one's passions and lusts in favor of a greater good. For the early Christians, true freedom was understood to be a bit of a paradox, since it could only come through full submission or slavery to Jesus Christ. In our reading from 1 Peter today, we are told to live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. In Romans chapter 6, Paul tells us, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness?" In other words, despite our desire for autonomy, we are all slaves of something. Consequently, true freedom in life comes not from resisting authority, but rather it comes from being under the proper authority of Christ. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus uses the analogy of a shepherd and his sheep to describe his relationship with his people. Today's story comes immediately after the story of the healing of the man born blind that we heard just a few weeks ago. Now, if you recall from that story, Jesus heals a man that had been blind from birth, but instead of seeing the hand of God in this incredible action, the Pharisees get nervous and they start making accusations. This Jesus character is threatening their power and their influence, so they must do whatever they can to retain control of the people. Jesus decides to use this as an opportunity to talk about legitimate and illegitimate authority. He says in verse 1, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." For Jesus, the people of Israel are the sheep, and the Pharisees are these thieves and robbers. Jesus continues by saying, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Jesus identifies himself with the shepherd of Psalm 23, who guides and protects his beloved sheep. Now, you would think that this would have been obvious to everyone standing there listening what Jesus was saying, but John tells us they did not understand what he was saying to them. Jesus responds then by shifting gears a bit. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." During the summer months, shepherds would often construct these makeshift corrals in the pasture lands to keep their sheep safe at night. And these corrals had an opening in one end so that the sheep could enter and exit. But since these weren't permanent structures, they didn't have any sort of formal door that could be opened or closed. Instead, the shepherd himself would sleep in this opening, serving as a human door. In verse 9, Jesus says, "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." By serving as the door, the shepherd himself would help to both protect and guide the sheep. You see, nighttime was a particularly dangerous time for sheep. So gathering them together in these corrals helped to keep them safe from wolves and thieves. By lying in this opening, the shepherd made sure that the sheep stayed in and the predators stayed out. However, protection was not the only job of the shepherd. He also needed to know when to let the sheep out so they could go out and graze on the fresh grass and drink from the cool streams. Too much protection would cause the sheep to starve to death, and too much freedom would expose them to unnecessary danger. A good shepherd needed to understand this delicate balance because his ultimate goal was the well-being of the sheep. Now we see the same balance of responsibilities in the tools the shepherd used. Psalm 23 says regarding the shepherd, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The purpose of the rod was for protection. You see, sheep do not possess a lot of natural defenses. They don't have great speed or superior intelligence. And they are absolutely delicious with a little bit of mint jelly. Consequently, they make for pretty appealing targets for predators. Since sheep, and especially lambs, really couldn't protect themselves, it was up to the shepherd to protect the flock. The rod was a long stick or a club used to ward off predators. In 1 Samuel 17, David talks about rescuing lambs from lions and bears using his shepherd's rod. Now, the staff, on the other hand, was used for guidance. Sheep are not the smartest animals in the world, and if left to their own devices, they will zero in on a particular plot of grass, and they will eat that area completely bare. And when this happens, new growth stops, and that pasture becomes unusable. Thus, a shepherd needed to make sure his flock did not overgraze any one particular field, and so he moved them around at regular intervals, allowing that grass to regrow and replenish. A good sheep would follow the sound of the voice of the shepherd when he called, but sometimes sheep can get so focused on what they're doing that they'll even ignore the shepherd's voice. So the shepherd's staff had this crook on one end of it that could fit around the neck of a lamb or a sheep so that the shepherd could redirect this wayward animal, making sure that it was able to find good grazing. In this way, the shepherd used the staff to provide freedom for the sheep. This wasn't a freedom for the sheep to do whatever he wanted to do, but rather it was freedom to do what he should do, to live a full and abundant life. As human beings, we all have within us a rebellious nature. We all want that Google definition of freedom, to be able to do, say, or think whatever we want, without any sort of hindrance or restraint. But unfortunately, like sheep wandering at night, we can very easily put ourselves and others at risk when we simply do what we want to do. And as a result, human governments are established to institute rules and boundaries for our safety. Unfortunately, governments themselves are imperfect institutions made up of sinful and rebellious human beings trying to govern equally sinful and rebellious human beings. We've all seen too clearly recently what happens when the desires for safety and freedom collide with each other. We can't trust individuals to do what is in the best interest of the community at large, and so laws need to be implemented to protect people from themselves. But at the same time, governments are made up of these same sinful people. Some of the most oppressive regimes in human history were established not as the result of some sort of violent military overthrow, but instead through a gradual erosion of individual freedoms for the sake of a sense of safety. Throughout human history, we have had a really hard time maintaining this balance. Of course, none of this is meant to be a political statement on my part, but rather an explanation of the reality that we find ourselves in. The paradox of human existence is that we are rebellious people who must be led. And this creates a tension in society, and when that tension gets out of balance on either side, you wind up with either anarchy or tyranny. The key to the abundant life, then, is not freedom to give in to the desires and passions of our flesh to do whatever it is that we want to do. That's actually slavery to our sinful nature. True freedom to lead an abundant life only comes through submission to Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd of our souls. When we submit to Him, He protects our hearts and He leads us into freedom. For example, my base desire might say that if I want something, I should just go and take it. If Dan has a sandwich, and that looks like a really good sandwich to me, I should just go rip it out of his hands and eat it myself. But Scripture tells me you shall not steal. And so I suppress my desire, and I don't get the item that I want. However, by following God's law, I'm free from prosecution. I'm free from Dan coming and socking me in the nose because I stole his sandwich. I don't think he'd sock me in the nose. But when we follow God's law, we are often freed from the consequences that come from our base desires and giving into them. So while that initial desire that I have might go unfulfilled, God's law actually winds up protecting me and leading me into true freedom. This is the job of the Good Shepherd, and we must always begin by submitting ourselves fully to His authority. As a priest, it is my calling to serve this congregation as an under-shepherd of the Good Shepherd. I am to protect the sheep from danger while leading them into true freedom. For the past couple of months, we've been taking Peter's words very seriously to be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. But I will admit, after the latest order from Springfield City Council and Greene County, it is taking increased levels of discipline to abide by Peter's words. Disappointed as I am, we will continue to do all that we can to keep everyone safe and connected as we explore ways to worship together in this very difficult context. As we continue to move forward, please pray for me and for the vestry as we look to the Good Shepherd as our example. Pray that we would always seek to protect this flock while leading us into freedom. But ultimately, we must all remember that true freedom and protection in this world will never be found in a human being or a human institution. It only comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My prayer for all of us at this time is that we would always follow where He leads us. Amen.